Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy 12 o'clock. We're almost 12:01. This is Jeff Duardo. Thank you for tuning in today. It's Saturday. It's foggy in the northwest. Still a little twinge of smoke in the air as well. I think that has to do, though, with the temperatures going a little bit down at night and people are lighting their fires. I love it. But at the same time, want the air to be healthy for all of us. And then you put a mask on top of that, and, you know, it's a little tricky. All right, so today we are absolutely sort of reeling in a lot of different ways from the last 48 hours. How can you even describe the continuous bombardment of stuff that keeps coming our way every day? And just that combined with just, you know, us having to go through our days and working and going to school, taking care of the kids, being teachers, and of course all our incredible, you know, front of the house workers everywhere, everybody at the supermarkets and stores and gas stations and pharmacies, and of course the takeout and dine-in restaurant business has taken a tremendous whirl, and so there's a lot going on. But, you know, here's the punchline. Everything always works out when you sit down and you have something to eat. You know, I think that when they have the saying comfort food, I don't think it's ever had more of a significance in the last 8 or 9 months than ever. Because it is our go-to happy-go-lucky part of the day to sit down, have something to eat, to feed our bellies. And there's nothing like good food. Today I was going to talk about putting our gardens to bed. And that is just a real simple process, depending on how big your garden is to shut it down for, you know, the end of the fall and into the winter. So depending on whatever level of you have decided to garden this year and grow things, and that includes, you know, any flowers or herbs and, of course, vegetables, our summer crops. If you check out the slideshow in tomorrow's show, you'll see the putting your garden to bed sort of collage or slideshow, I guess, or a little video of just some of the incredible garden box productions that have happened. Now, when we first went on the air with the Quarantine Mania show about March 13th, I think, and they aired every single day until about the 17th of July when we took our summer break. But during that time, in the first couple of shows, we were trying to come up with some, you know, plans to, you know, nobody knew what was going on, the whole thing with the toilet paper, paper towel rush, and then, of course, the food rush, and all of a sudden, you go to the store and you want to buy some of the simplest things, like flour, and it was like everything was rationed, and that was, you know, a very wise and smart thing to do, so therefore, the groceries could keep up with the sudden immense demand of food. But during that period of time, we were talking about vegetables, and we were saying, I wanted to give everybody an example of making a garden box. So we suggested that if you have some old dressers work really good, and can pull out some wooden drawers, and then we can convert those drawers into indoor beds or porch beds or, just right outside beds. And we're talking about mostly people who, even if they have a garden, the winter was going to be coming, and there's no reason in the world where some things couldn't be grown indoors, specifically lettuce, herbs, things like that. And then as you cultivate through the first couple of months, you can actually start some of the things that you'll eventually put outside. So it was a good thing. Well, in the mystery world of radio, you never know who's listening, for the most part. And there's lots of people who communicate with me, which I love it. And then I know there are also people who don't, but hopefully they're taking away something from the Food Mania shows. If not something like an idea or a connection or some kind of networking idea. So this network of garden boxes, I guess it was funny. I asked people, and I responded via email as well, to please send me pictures of your progress of your garden boxes. So I've been accumulating them for the last few months. And I just got, time finally in the last week or so preparing for this new season that we've just begun, season 10, to organize those. And I'm really excited. Now, I'll post them on the Facebook page, the Chef Duardo's Food Mania page. There's already a bunch up there and even some videos of some of the bounty that you wonderful listeners have grown in your little dresser drawers. And very excellent. And thank you for responding so great with the pictures and the little stories. Some really good stories. I remember telling the story when we first talked about the garden boxes back in March, when most of us who were from my generation, well, actually, I shouldn't say it still happens. In many schools, there was always the milk cartons, the dirt, and some sort of a seedling that all the kids would put their names on it and put them in the window. And, every day, is it growing? And, you get little sprouts. And it was just such an exciting thing. And I really was hoping that people could go back to that period of time and create your little window box and grow some nice things. And you did. I wanted to talk to Darren Hall, who sent me a beautiful picture of his shrimp scampi pizza, which those of you who and by the way, talking about Chef Duardo's Food Mania page, if everybody out there has a Facebook page for the most part, please find Chef Duardo's Food Mania and like it, because it'll open up an incredible world of great stuff. Restaurants, promotions for different restaurants, like Nona Luisa Restaurante in Anacortes, Washington's been featured like literally all the time. Great cooks, great chefs, great stories, great pictures of food and recipes, and you'll get those for absolutely free. Now, listen, if you're already done watching every single thing on Netflix and YouTube, take a half hour and just enjoy this little, slideshow of Food Mania life over the last many years. Also, make sure that you have some good stuff to eat close by, because there's no doubt you're going to want to drink and you're going to want to eat while you're looking at these pictures. Anyway, Darren sent me a picture of his shrimp scampi pizza, and basically he also took my advice and decided to order some 00 flour from Italy, and basically he's so excited to, number one, to get as a pizza person that he seems to be, evidently I think 23. He's been making pizzas, I guess, since he was about 10 or 11, and his dad was really into making pizzas, and they were very delighted with this flour and mostly the history of it. And people who have been following some of the little films and things I've put up in the last couple of months and the Italian journeys, a lot of things about Ischia in Italy, I feel like I spent the summer in Ischia. And so I wanted to celebrate some of these incredible ideas. But Daryl said that the idea of just having this stuff from Italy really got him excited. Then I also found a really good Well, I have my own method, of course, and he had that method. But after talking to a few different people, Pizzaiola on YouTube from Italy is a great pizza person. And in fact, I'm working very hard to get him to call in and have an interview with him. Already been in touch and set that up probably hopefully for the next couple of weeks. But this specific recipe that he did on YouTube, and I'll post that on Facebook. It's actually there. I'll highlight it from the highlights of the shows, and gave him the perfect method, and he followed it. It's about a 48-hour minimum process, I think, and using almost the same method as paella. I'm trying to think exactly what they called it. Anyway, I think it's paiaizo, and it was named after Giovanni's grandfather, and it was the pizzaiolo I've been talking about. And that's they didn't call it pizza. That's what they called it, paiaizo. So really, I know it the word pizza probably is an abbreviation or a derivative of that. But it just made it really exciting for him to make this new pizza. The other thing is he was able to get there's a product out there right now I highly recommend. You can find it in some of the bigger markets. It's an Argentine wild prawn. And they average anywhere from $10 to $15 a pound, but I've seen them on sale a lot for $9 or $10. And he used those, and he got the slightly bigger ones. And the way he did scampi, once he got the pizza done, he sauced it and he herbed it. And he decided to put some very thin slices of heirloom tomato and just a little bit of Parmesan Reggiano, just a shave or two. And then, a lot of Italian recipes never combine cheese with prawns or shrimp or any kind of seafood. Lots of times, and I know in my experience as a chef in traditional recipes, when you did a linguine and clams, you never cheesed it. When you did certain dishes that had fish, clams, mussels, or scallops, you didn't cheese it. But in this pizza, we do a simple amount of fresh buffalo mozzarella under the a little bit the tomatoes, just speculate, and then of course some fresh, which I really like, is just fresh basil leaf during the cooking, and then we'll add some more at the end of it. Anyway, he followed the recipe really great. He coordinated his sautéing of the prawns with the cooking of the pizza. He was making it in a conventional convection oven at 440 degrees, he said, on a stone. Now, of course, the wood fire and all that, and the brick oven, everybody knows about that. But and this is just one of my listeners who was perfect, because most of us don't have wood fire pizza ovens and brick ovens. So he just did the crust traditionally, and as I said, 48 hours, you make it, you let it sit at room temperature for about 10 hours, and you cut it into, as many portions as you plan to make your dough. I like to make these doughs in smaller batches, and then you put it in the fridge, cover it overnight, then pull it out the next day and let it ferment and proof in the room at room temperature for another, 12 hours, and then put it into back in the fridge. And then pull it out a couple hours before you decide to use it, just the balls. And that's the 48-hour method. Went ahead and did that. He took the prawns, did the normal scampi sauté that I gave him. And just as the pizza was coming out, he pulled it out, let it rest. Simply spooned those beautiful prawns over the top and drizzled the beautiful garlic butter and fresh parsley. And then fresh basil, of course, on the top. And he took a pinch of crushed red peppers over the whole thing, and that was it. Beautiful. And the picture's up on Facebook right now, and you'll be able to attach that to the recipe as well, and as well as a good source to get the 00 flour. All right, what a roundabout story of starting our show today. But you know what? I just think it's exciting because, like I said, I want Food Mania to be your oasis of we'll get through through the stuff for the first 5 minutes or so, and then we'll move on to mouthwatering stories. I got a request. I have to play a song right now. During the Food Mania Quarantine Mania season, we use to close the show many times with a song called Look Through Any Window by the Hollies. And I love that song, and I've always loved it. I loved playing it when I first learned it in 1966 or so, and still occasionally, you know, love playing it because it's the perfect. I love it because it's a great 12-string Rickenbacker song to play, and I love playing that guitar of mine with that song. The words to it are pretty innocent, you know. It's a sort of a love song, but the idea during the first month or so of the pandemic is that we couldn't see anybody and we were isolated. And if you were living by yourself, which I do for the most part, you know, in my house studio here, it's huge and it's really big. And so, you know, and I have a big courtyard and garden, and I'm able to get out and stuff. But the people close to my life, because of the nature of our exposure, we both had to isolate during that period of time. And the only time I could see them was to go to the house, which is very close, literally walking distance. And then incredibly stand on the porch, beautiful porch under these big giant oak trees that are just starting to see the first little buds of the winter coming, and we communicate through the porch and a giant picture window, and that was how we spent. We had several meals there. We did it that way. It was pretty special. And so this song is basically in honor of all of us that had to go through that when we're visiting our parents or our kids or our, you know, significant other in my case, and her daughters and other kids and friends of mine. I get this from time to time. But this is a song for all of you guys. Farmers markets. I encourage you, if you can, most of them are only staying open, I guess, till around 2 o'clock, maybe 3. So if you haven't, we talked about that in yesterday's show a little bit. You know, there's some really good deals on produce right now, mainly because a lot of people are harvesting their own stuff. And really, really, when I say good deals, not just financially, I'm talking about beautiful things that you want to, you know, add to this comfort food concept right now. This is a good time, especially, you know, when the weather gets a little foggy like this and a little cooler, soups are happening. I mean, imagine going and getting some beautiful rainbow beets and some maybe black potatoes and some absolutely potpourri of squash and pumpkin and make a vegetable stew that would be just incredible and just something that you would absolutely be able to have for days and of course, can some of it. And mostly important, share it with your loved ones, share it with your friends. Nobody refuses this meat. And, you know, nothing like just getting a quarter to a soup in a container and just knocking on somebody's door, friend or, you know, whatever, and just, hey, I made a soup. That's what you'd like. So encourage you to go to the farmer's markets and please support our local vendors. Also, there's a couple of good food trucks out there. And in case you haven't eaten seven times today already, that's what you need to do. You need to go and have a couple of bites of some of the beautiful, delicious things that some of our local people make. And everywhere, and I'm talking about, you know, where we are here on the island, but they're having all over Northwest Washington Peninsula, and people who are listening have gone down to Soho, went to the Soho Market this morning. It's already pretty much shutting down all over New York City, and we are really encouraging people to support those markets and make some delicious, incredible food. All right, tomorrow, being the Sunday that it is, and the fourth day of the new month, October, we're getting really close to a really great BBC broadcast, which is happening, and that is a celebration of what would have been John Lennon's 80th birthday. It's hard to imagine, but that is a true thing, and it's really incredible because John, we lost John at 40 years old. So it's literally been 40 years since we lost him. And his, so beautiful. His youngest son, Sean Lennon, cheers me up a little bit just thinking about it, is produced an incredible, wow, this just sounds so exciting, an incredible documentary, I guess, in celebration of his life. And it is filled with some beautiful things. One of the most beautiful things is Julian Lennon is part of it, and that is really great. So there'll be some interviews and having the two brothers talk, you know, have the two brothers literally talk about one of their greatest heroes. And, you know, I think that it's something that we're really, really, you know, really blessed with, that, you know, maybe enough time has come that, you know, a discussion by family members could be had. There's so much, there's always so incredible, wonderful speculation, you know, about what it was during the last few years of an artist's life and what it has become since their passing as far as music. And it's really something. When you think about the Lennons, also there's Paul McCartney will be there. And evidently supposed to be playing a song that's a song that him, one of the first songs that him and John wrote that maybe most people have never heard before. So I would check the BBC website, BBC Two, and find the exact time. I think it's, I believe it's on the same day, the 8th, but I could be wrong. It could be October 4th, but it just popped into my head as I'm reading some of your messages, because I get questions not only about food, but lots of times about the Beatles. And that is always fun to talk about and answer. There's a couple of really great web food shows that are happening right now, and I want to encourage people to watch them. So I'll give you the Food Mania video visual rundown right now. What we have going, which is really exciting, is the second part two of the Taco Chronicles on Netflix. And if you are a Netflix watcher, you know, I'm not promoting any of these stations, by the way. You know, Foodomania is produced totally for free. Well, not for free, but there's no charge for it. It's free to my listeners. But when I hear something good, and I think that's going to be inspiring to your palate, I'm going to tell you about it. So what I'm saying is Netflix has a series called The Taco Chronicles. Season one was this past year, and they have now season two. So I encourage you to watch both of them. there's an incredible history to tacos. And in season two, they branch from tacos into the history of burritos. Now, what I'm talking about is not a typical food show. Today, we're going to make a burrito. This is going to the sources in the different regions all over Mexico and to actual mom-and-pop historic taco and burrito taquerias and little, bodega stores and restaurants that are famous for their preparation and their history of preserving the culture of how these things started. So if you're looking for some taco thing, you're going to get a, carne asada, or you're going to get, something that you really feel like you really like, pollo or chicken or, apodaba, carnitas, whatever it is that you're going to do. We don't know that. We think, but this is another style. But as you know, like with Italian cooking, food and different flavors and combinations come from different regions, and same thing with Mexico. So this Taco Chronicles absolutely highlights it. Oh my gosh. Now, this is absolutely one of the shows that you have to either prepare some foods, some tacos, some things very close to this. You'll learn a lot during the show. So you make them the way you normally make them, or get them from your people that you love and get those, get a little assortment, have them ready, have some good stuff to drink, whatever your drink is. I would have, some nice fresh salsa, things like that around, so you can make this a total celebration. Because in my opinion, growing up in my day, we actually had a television in our kitchen, which was wacky. And they were previews, but we saw in those days you were seeing really cool things. And I really, really remember how seeing things on TV just made me more hungry. So in this case, the Taco Chronicles, in other words, when you're watching a show about food, you're not going to go, oh, great, I got to go out and fix my car. It's not going to happen. You're going to do something that has to do with ingesting deliciousness. So I would say tune into these. Now, I especially love, I think it's the third or fourth show in the second season. And by the way, I'm not giving anything away. There's no punchline or anything like that. But there is a section that really covers the first of the burrito. And they talk specifically about a bean and cheese burrito and a specific tortilla that they make to make this thing incredible. So in other words, when we make a regular burrito, we're taking our filling and putting it in the center of a maybe 10-inch tortilla. This is over 20-inch tortilla made basically the same size burrito. And it's the beautiful dough is so paper thin that even when they have to do a double fold, it's still a bit thinner than the normal flour tortilla that we get in most stores. All right, more about that. So that's your little Foodomania visual aid tip. I'm having fun today, and I'm really excited that I'll be back again tonight at 10. So come on back at 10 o'clock tonight. We'll be focusing tonight's show, of course, on music and food and music, of course, but there'll be some very, very neat things I'll be playing and talking about. Also, last announcement before we sign off, next Friday, that is coming up, I'll give you more details every day, but we are going to do our first live video broadcast. Foodomania has not done one of those for a long time. And we're going to do that on a weekly basis now every Friday. And it's going to be a special one-hour broadcast happening at 4 o'clock. Now, don't worry about it. If you're working and you can't see it live, you'll be able to watch it within 15 minutes of the end of the show. So it'll be posted and ready to view. So it's all good. A lot going on. Thank you very, very much for being here today. I've had a really good time. I hope I didn't talk your ear off. And maybe you've got some ideas. Get in touch with me, chefstuarto@hotmail.com. C-H-E-F, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, @hotmail.com. Take care. We'll be right back.